Well, the great journalist Ben Swan had me on to talk about the AI-generated so-called viruses. And what are the risk factors associated with this? Because there was a group that was bragging about how they use AI to develop, you know, friendly viruses, they called them. I think 16 different viruses that would attack, I don't know, pathogens or something. So you might be wondering, well, what are the dangers with this? So let's step back for a moment. AI augmentation can turn one person's effort into, let's say, the work of 10 people. Very, very common for that to be witnessed when you're talking about coding, you know, writing code or doing, let's say, paralegal work or even straight up attorney work. Or doing medical research, for example, or editing text or translating. I mean, in translations, AI has replaced everybody. I don't think there are any human translators left, except for maybe with some very rare languages that AI just hasn't been taught yet. But AI allows one human to do the work of many other people. And of course, that's a double-edged sword, right? It can be good or bad. If you're a good person with positive intentions and you want to use AI to do things like what I do, to educate, to build infographics that are educational, to create books that are free for people to learn from, or to engineer solutions or create, you know, nutritional menus for people who want to upgrade their health through foods and superfoods, etc. Those are all positive uses of AI. And I support all those uses, and those are some of the uses that I engage in. I will use AI all the time. I use it every single day. It makes me more productive and effective. But then there are the bad faith people who use AI to do malicious things. Those are the bioweapons, the bioterrorists, the depopulation pushers, the, you know, maybe the cyber hackers, etc. But there's even a third group, which is people who think they're doing good, but are actually part of a system that is evil. And in that group, I would count a lot of so-called virologists or so-called medical researchers or vaccine engineers, people like that. And those consist of people who believed all the brainwashing in medical school, for example, and they think that pharmaceuticals are going to save humankind, and they think that vaccines are awesome. And they may not themselves be aware of the depopulation, higher level agenda that's taking place. So they are sort of unwitting pawns in a game of harming humanity. And they think they're using AI for good, but actually it's being used for evil. So there's a lot of that that's going on as well. And in fact, I think this particular topic about AI generated so-called viruses, this is in that category. Now, we also have to clarify, what is a virus? You know, how much do we accept from modern virology, etc.? I don't believe much of anything about modern virology. And even though I used to, but since COVID, I've learned that there's never been a virus isolated, you know, like an influenza virus, as it's called. It's never been isolated from a person who's said to be infected or sick with influenza and then introduced into the body of a healthy person where it replicated into, you know, a confirmed homogeneous protein morphology that reproduced the same sickness symptoms that were spotted in the first person. So this idea of the transmission of disease via viruses is a hoax. That doesn't exist. What does exist is that certain proteins can be pathological. They can be toxins. So this is true with the SARS-CoV-2 protein or with the S1 subunit of that protein or with the S1 subunit of that protein or the so-called virus, as well as fragments of the proteins. And some of these fragments can themselves be pathogenic or harmful to human cells. So I want to be clear what I'm saying here. Your body can be injected with mRNA where your body is given instructions to churn out non-human proteins that are pathogenic, that are toxins, that do harm you, that is true. And then you can shed those harmful substances onto someone else. That's called shedding. And then that person could suffer effects from exposure to the toxins that you are shedding. So that can sometimes be labeled or even misunderstood as viral transmission when it's really just toxic exposure from someone who is shedding. But to some degree, these are just using different words to say very much the same thing. Now, the reason this is important to understand is because when AI systems help scientists create artificial viruses, what they're really creating is artificial toxins or artificial proteins, artificial molecular structures, you know, large molecules. Proteins are large molecules. So large molecular structures that can have and do have impacts on human biology, biochemistry, physiology, neurology, immunology, etc. This is critical to understand. So when I hear about scientists, oh, we've used AI to create these 16 synthetic viruses that never existed before, in my mind, that sets off all kinds of red flags because it means, number one, they can use AI to speed the creation of biological weapons that they call vaccines, or that they call gene therapy, or that they call a prescription medication. You know, they can call it anything they want because the FDA will let them get away with murder, obviously. So they can call it all kinds of things, but it doesn't mean that it's safe. And you might be wondering, well, wait a minute, how does AI come up with a real protein? Well, that's just straight, you know, genetics and chemistry. You know, mRNA, transcriptase instructions, is a blueprint for how to assemble amino acids essentially into protein structures, and how those protein structures go together, the sequence of assembly. It could even involve things like protein folding. What are the receptor sites on the outside of the structure? All kinds of things. You know, there's a 3D morphology that's involved in proteins. Anyway, once they have the instructions nailed down, they can, through just modern chemistry, you can synthesize proteins. You can sequence and then synthesize. You know, proteins can be synthesized. It's not cheap to do it, but that is done. And it's, you know, there's a lot of synthesis of other simpler molecules that happens in laboratories. For example, pretty straightforward to synthesize, let's say, ascorbic acid, you know, vitamin C. That's synthesized all the time. You can synthesize many things, but proteins are some of the more complex things to synthesize. But that's a whole area of chemistry or biochemistry, or I don't even know what the specialty titles would be, but somebody who can take a protein sequence from mRNA instructions and then turn that into physical proteins. Well, those people exist, and those lab techniques do exist. They are real, and that can happen. And, you know, CRISPR, for example, you're familiar with CRISPR, which is a gene editing tool that is basically open source at this point. Lots of people can edit genetic sequences. And those sequences, even though you might be editing, let's say, RNA, and those genetic sequences, once they're translated properly into, you know, the mRNA blueprint that your cells need, then your own cells will just churn out those proteins. So, you know, ribosomes create proteins. So this technology already exists inside every living cell in your body. So it's not something that is impossible to do. You do it all the time. But it's been done, you know, artificially, obviously. So the danger in this is that, again, a bad faith person could use this, or even a good faith person who is misled could use this technology, and they could end up mass producing a toxin, a protein toxin or protein fragment toxins, that even they might tell themselves these are good, but they turn out to be a mistake, turn out to be, you know, a horrible toxin, unleashing the zombie apocalypse. There was a whole movie based on that science fiction concept. Will Smith starred in it. Remember, it's called I Am Legend. and the biochemists thought they'd come up with a cancer cure, 100% cancer cure. So they treated everybody with it, and everybody turned into zombies. And then Will Smith had to fight the zombies with his dog. So that's pretty much the movie. In case you want to watch that. In real life, you could have AI also hallucinating, which, you know, all AI can hallucinate. Text generation AI will hallucinate text. It will hallucinate, you know, the wrong titles, the wrong author names, the wrong years, things like that, unless you very carefully control and review and edit what it's producing. It'll suffer hallucinations. Image generation AI will very frequently hallucinate like six fingers in images of people. It has trouble with mouths and teeth, repeating patterns like teeth or fingers or toes and things like that. Video AI engines will also hallucinate video. You know, they'll come up with crazy things. Well, protein synthesis AI can also hallucinate bad proteins. Or really bad morphology of how they go together or how they fold, etc. So we already know this about AI. It doesn't matter what it's working on, images or text or proteins or video. It's capable of making mistakes. So my question would be for these researchers, how closely are they scrutinizing what they're creating and how do they know it's safe? I think they said in the study, like, we didn't make anything harmful, and these are you know, helpful viruses, whatever. Well, hey, it is true that most so-called viruses are harmless to human biology. In fact, the vast majority of them are harmless because, well, they're not even really viruses. That's one of the reasons why. I mean, not as viruses are explained in the mainstream. However, that doesn't mean that some, you know, pathogenic structure couldn't slip through the guardrails or the quality control or the human review and end up being something that they replicate and they start releasing it in the subway system in, you know, New York or wherever, because they tell themselves, oh, this is going to be good for everybody, you know. maybe they're producing a virus that they think is like a flu shot, right? And maybe in their own minds, they tell themselves, everybody needs a flu shot, so let's just release it all through the buildings in the city. Let's release it in the subway system. Let's release it in the sports arenas. You know, let's release it in the restaurants everywhere. And people will thank us when they don't get sick this winter. You know, you can imagine somebody doing that. And then, of course, everybody turns into zombies or some other horrible effect like turbo cancer or infertility, spontaneous abortions, immune system collapse, you know, crazy skin reactions, you know, inflammation, cytokine storm, things like that. And those things would be bad. And by the way, if Fauci were a supervillain, like in comic books, you know how in the X-Men there is a superhero known as Storm and she could control the weather? I think Fauci should be called Cytokine Storm. And what he does is he kills you with inflammation because he's actually already done that. He's already a supervillain. He just needs the costume. So, given that we are living in a world where clearly most of the medical establishment is either trying to make you sick and profit off your sickness, or they are literally trying to kill you, you know, think about it, FDA, CDC, vaccines, big pharma, cancer doctors that get paid for causing cancer or extending cancer, you know, chemotherapy causes cancer, mammography causes breast cancer, damages heart tissue with ionizing radiation, etc. Virtually the entire medical system is really run like a death cult. And if they then have the power of AI synthesis of, you know, protein toxins, that's probably not good for humanity. Probably not. We don't need artificial intelligence to design molecules for our health because God's intelligence already did it. Mother Nature already designed and engineered the nutrients that protect your genetic code. Those nutrients are called things like, well, astaxanthin, for example, or phycocyanin from spirulina, or what? Chlorophyll from chlorella, or vitamin C, for that matter, you know, or anthocyanins. from like dark berries and such, you know, or sulforaphane from broccoli sprouts. Your body can benefit tremendously from these already engineered nutrients, just engineered by God and Mother Nature. And probably you will want to use those substances and many more, you know, vitamin D, vitamin E, etc. All the B vitamins, especially niacin and nicotinamide. Yeah, some good stuff coming. So I've got a free course coming up soon, hopefully releasing by the end of August, that will teach you the principles of nutritional defenses against spike protein shedding or mRNA vaccine shedding or any other kind of crazy exposure, even if it's AI engineered or, you know, maliciously Fauci engineered or gain of function engineered, whatever. If it's a threat to your DNA, your genetic integrity, then there is a nutritional defense against it. And my free course coming up will teach you all those nutritional defenses, which also happen to be the exact same things that protect you from ionizing radiation and even non-ionizing radiation, such as 5G exposure or EMFs or high voltage power lines or being around electric motors all day because you drive an EV, things like that. How do you protect your body? It's a very straightforward course. I teach you exactly how to do it, exactly which nutrients, which strategies for reducing exposure, all kinds of things. Again, that's got to be completely free. If you stay tuned to my podcast and my interviews at brightvideos.com, you will definitely hear about that announcement. Or if you read my articles at naturalnews.com or subscribe to the email newsletter there at Natural News, you'll also hear about this because we're going to be touting this everywhere once it's finally released. And I'll be talking about it on my daily broadcast, and I'll bring you some snippets. And this course will have a tremendous number of AI-generated infographics that are educational, that explain things like diagrams and things. And if I can get this up and running in time, I may have some AI-generated video of some of those diagrams and infographics, but we'll see. I can't promise that yet. I am currently setting up some local workstations to run Minimax H3 on some NVIDIA 6000 Pro cards. My early tests showed that it works great, but I'm having to scale up these systems with some pretty extreme thermal management because of the heat situation, which is getting insane. So if I can make those work for you, I'll bring you those too. Bottom line, follow my work at brightvideos.com or naturalnews.com if you want to be kept informed about how to protect your genetic integrity, which also means protecting your immune system function, protecting your fertility, protecting neurology, because, you know, your brain cells have genetic code as well. It's kind of important to protect it all, right? Your red blood cells don't have genetic code. That's one thing that doesn't. But the other cells in your body that make red blood cells, they have genetic code. You need to protect that. So, you know, bone marrow cells, for example. So we're going to bring you all this information that will have a hugely positive impact on your life, completely free of charge. You won't have to pay a thing. The most you'll have to do is enter your email address and confirm your email, and that's it. And you'll have full access to the entire course free of charge. So stay tuned. I'll bring you that information as soon as I have it. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and stay informed.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.